you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 173 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyra, your host once again. Today, I have a really interesting guest. His name is Christopher Lyle. And Christopher, or Chris, is an attorney on the West Coast by day, but he's also a serial entrepreneur and has turned his attention to software development and has developed a platform called Law Hustle to meet the needs of his own law firm, that his and his partners. And you know, Law Hustle manages that space in the client experience from the time that the client first contacts your firm until the time that they have executed a retainer and become a client. And so that's an area of the experience has gained a lot of attention. There's some companies out there that have been trying to fill that void. And I think what Christopher has done is really very interesting and unique, and you're going to hear him describe that process and the features of his system. And I think it's really well positioned to satisfy the needs of attorneys who are trying to automate their process from start to finish. So take a listen to Christopher Lyle. Christopher Lyle, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm delighted you can spend some time with us today, Christopher. Or Chris, you told me that it's okay to call you Chris. So Chris, tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
Well, I'm kind of a late bloomer to the legal space. I actually started in the business like medical technology space. And then I somehow decided to venture off into law like later on in my career. So I decided to go to law school at night after my day job. And then I ended up becoming an attorney. And that was about 5 years ago or so. And, you know, I started off as when I started law school, the whole goal was to be a patent attorney. So when I started off in my legal space, I started as a patent attorney because my background was in science and technology. And that's kind of the space I enjoyed. And then it kind of ventured off into me wanting to provide for clients more rather than do technology stuff. So that's kind of, I kind of ventured off and started a firm with my partner. You know, during the middle of some transition between some firms, I decided to just go out and on our own and do it ourselves.
Yeah. So, well, let's go back a little bit here for a second because you were in the medical supply field. What you were in the sales part of it, or were you in the design development, or what part of the medical field were you in?
So when I started, my science degree is in molecular biology. So I started off in the medical space, and I've always had a affinity for technology. So somehow I just landed in this space where like I wrapped in a lot of the technology related to medical operations into technology. So I had a lot of experience like tying all these things together in the system to make them operational and more efficient and more effective. And I also went to grad school too, and I got an MBA. So a lot of this business and technology and how to rope everything together to make it more efficient and more effective for a business, that's kind of what I thrived in the medical space. And then I took all that technology that I had and I learned in that space, and I kind of transitioned over to the legal field now, which is where I'm at now.
Well, you're kind of a glutton for punishment then. I mean, molecular biology, was it? You know, your undergrad degree was what, molecular biology, did you say?
Yeah, I'm molecular biology.
Yeah, and so that's hard enough as it is. And then you doubled down with an MBA, and then you decide to go to law school?
Yeah. I would say I'm overachiever. Because when I got out of undergrad, I really didn't understand. I really didn't know what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And so I went to grad school, and then I got in the business space, and then I kind of transitioned over to law. So just, I kind of like go for things that interest me, and science, technology, and, you know, the legal field just seemed like almost like an untapped market. And I was like, oh, I'm going to go over here because I think I can use that and apply what I've learned in my previous career to the legal space.
Right.
And that's exactly what I did.
I'm only pulling your chain a little bit because I have kind of a similar background in the sense of moving from one career to the next and trying to add on to the previous. I just liked going to school. I mean, I enjoyed being in the university. So it wasn't difficult for me to just continue to go. So I can appreciate that, and I do. Don't get me wrong. I'm not denigrating that whatsoever. So somewhere along the line, the concept of law popped in your brain. And as you said, you were looking at it primarily from a patent law perspective. So what was the genesis of that? What made you start to think that might be the next outlet for you?
Are you talking about the patent law, or are you just talking about legal in
just
general?
Just law in general.
Well, through the course of my previous career, so like we came up along these lines of like having to protect intellectual property and having to protect certain things, and how can we do this, and how can we make sure that it's protected against other medical organizations using the same technology. So that's how the whole thing with patent law came up. We're just like, wait, you can be an attorney and have a science background? Wait, you can't even be a patent attorney unless you have a science background. You take another bar exam at the federal government level. I'm like, wait, this is totally for me. And that's why I jumped into it. So
So it sounds like it's a nice intersection. So, all right. So you go to law school. Where'd you go to law school?
I went to University of West LA in LA.
Okay. And then you decided, now along the line, you said you had the idea of being in patent law. By the time you got out, were you still thinking patent law?
Yeah, I still practice patent law today. It's more like a side project than it is a main focus. But, you know, when I got out of law school, I was a patent attorney. Still am a patent attorney. I still do work because I still love technology and like helping people to kind of protect their technology. So I got in that space, but through the course of that, I had my buddy from law school, his name's Ethan Peace, he's now my partner. He actually sat next to me in my contracts class. So we got to know each other in our contracts class. And, we've been friends ever since we went through law school, and he was transitioning between one law firm and another law firm. And then he came to me and he told me that he didn't want to work for the man anymore. He said he wanted to go out on his own. And I said, you know what, I got to think about this, because I was already, doing my stuff and moving on with my career. And I thought it would be a better fit for me in my mindset, because I like to be an entrepreneur and I like to think outside the box and think how I can make things better. And I just dove right in with him. And also another reason why I did it too is, working for a big law firm, I feel that clients become the second class citizens, almost, I would think.
Yeah.
In a big law firm, they're kind of there as ATMs rather than actually being an advocate for them. And I really don't like that aspect of it. I like to be the one to push their case to a point where it's beneficial for them rather than it's beneficial for the firm and the bottom line.
Of course, I think looking back on it now, you probably recognize that the entrepreneurial spirit was in you right from the very beginning, given the fact that law was, the third or fourth endeavor that you put yourself through. So it's not really surprising that when the siren call of solo practice or small firm practice landed on your ears, it's not surprising that you're receptive to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so you and your buddy, you start, a two-man firm right out of the box there?
Yep. We started a two-man firm as a side project. And we were like, oh, maybe we can just see if we can make a go at this. And we started, and we just dove right into it.
So, and what areas did you practice together?
We strictly do workman's comp for the injured worker. And the reason why we chose this practice area is because my partner has actually been working in this area of law for about 11 years. And this guy's amazing at managing these cases and working them up to where like they get the most potential benefit for the client out of them. And like I'm in awe when I see him run these cases. So we decided to go in his niche because that was a niche that I saw a tremendous need for an overhaul in regards to efficiencies and efficiency and effectiveness. So we just dove right into that one. And so my partner is the main guy who manages all the caseloads, because he's just awesome at it. And I'm the guy who makes sure that the business is running smoothly, the firm is operational, and also I'm the guy who's tasked with making all the technology run and kind of run efficiently on the side. But I do the case stuff as well, but he's the guy who kind of directs the cases where they go.
Well, it sounds like a great fit. And you know, one of the great things about workers' comp, I mean, it has its plus and minuses, but one of the great things about workers' comp is, you know, at the end of the day, you're really helping somebody who was injured through no fault of their own. And, you know, it's one of those things that you can look at yourself in the mirror and feel good about, you know, what you're doing.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with it. We try to dig deep into not necessarily, you know, most people think when they do these cases that is all they want is a financial outcome. They want the financial benefit. But really at the end of the day, if you really dig deep into these clients and what they really want, they want to get better so they can go back to work to actually provide for themselves again. So like we focus on that aspect of it more. And at the end, the financial benefit for them at the end is just, it works out for them. That's what we focus on. Try to get them the correct medical care they need and, you know, to the right doctors and get the correct outcome that they want.
Yeah. And, you know, the fact of the matter is most people just want to get their lives back and had their lives disrupted, you know, terribly by, you know, an accident that occurs on the job. And as you said, most of them just want to go back to work in some fashion or another. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I used to do a lot of personal injury work when I first started, and like workers' comp, one of the things that separates one firm from another and really gives you the edge on profitability and sustainability is how efficiently you can handle these cases. And then for that matter, you know, technology plays a really big role in terms of being able to deliver your services in an efficient and cost-effective manner. So I understand that when you were going through this process, you felt that at some point the tools that were available to you weren't meeting your needs, and you decided to do something about that. Tell us about that story.
Yeah. Definitely. So through the course of growing, so we started with five cases my partner brought over from his other firm. Right. And so as soon as we started doing this, we really found out that it's really tough to get new clients. I really never thought how tough it would be until I actually had to do it myself. So, you know, we trying to get cases in the door plus being able to manage cases that you're currently working on seemed to be a big task. So as we grew, the task got more burdensome and burdensome as you grow, because you want to spend time with your clients to get them the results they want, but you also have to spend time with potential clients to get them in the door to keep feeding your pipeline to have it grow. So we found that, you know, one thing is lead generation. Lead generation happens to be this thing where you pay a digital marketer and you hope that they give you leads. And from our experience, it ended up being this really terrible experience where we just give people money and then we get nothing pretty much. So we found one lead source that was pretty beneficial for us. And I came up with the idea, my partner, of how to make this process easy. So how can we follow up with hundreds and hundreds of potential leads without having to lift a finger? How can we save our time so we can spend our time on, you know, making our clients' cases better? How can we reduce our overhead? And like all these questions just run through my head. So we came up with this idea to almost, you know, automate the intake process. Not to automate the intake process, but auto up the follow-up. So like, you know, when a lead comes in the door, you know, our system will automatically go out and text message them, email them, give them phone calls. And all these phone calls and text messages are geared and they look, taste, and feel like they come from the attorney. So right out of the gate, you're already engaging with the potential client as the attorney in an intimate conversation. And we drive those people to book appointments. And then after they book the appointments, all of a sudden you have an appointment on your calendar for a new consultation. You get on the phone, vet the case like you normally would do. Then all of a sudden you have a new client. And all the stuff from all the work from the lead, the part from the lead comes out of the door to book in an appointment is all automated.
So let's focus on that part of the puzzle just for a moment. So how does that manifest itself from the client's perspective? So they're going to, once they make that first contact with you and you've captured the necessary information to populate the tool. And by the way, what is the tool? What are you calling the tool?
Our tool is called Law Hustle.
Okay, Law Hustle?
Yeah.
Okay. So once you get the information into the Law Hustle, then, you know, we're familiar on this program with email drip campaigns, where you have a email service provider and you set up some tailored email messages that will go out in sequence over the course of time. But you've added more than just that. You've added some text messaging, automated text messaging, as well as some phone calls. I'm intrigued by the phone call component of that. What's involved there?
So our system and software is more of a customization than it is of like you buy a license and you get to use it. So it's very custom to the firm that it's used for. Like for example, I as an intake process for me for the software for clients who want to use it, you know, I get pre-recorded voicemails from them, pre-recorded generic voicemails. I get, you know, all this stuff from them. So when the messages go out to these people or the voicemails or the phone calls, it's actually the attorney on the other end of the phone. If they don't answer, they get the voicemail in the inbox. So it's very, very, very personalized. And I found that if you have an automated system like a drip campaign, like all these other, you know, like MailChimp and all these other platforms out there that do these like drip campaigns, most attorneys don't know how to build them. They don't understand the best method to make them happen. And if they do, there's no like back and forth automation associated with it. So for example, if we sent somebody a message saying like, hey, would you like to have a consultation today? I have time on my calendar. And they respond back, yes. No other system out there is going to actually respond back to them based on the response and say, hey, let's book a time and then push the times that are available to the person. Then they get to pick and then they're all of a sudden on your calendar. No, there's nothing out there like that.
Yeah, it is more or less a one-way communication. You're sending the email messages out. You know, if really well designed, you have a link in that email message that allows the person to schedule a consultation. But you're right, there's no back and forth. And in your case, your system is actually capturing that response and given whatever that response is, sending out, you know, the next level of response to further engage that potential client to try and get them to make an appointment.
Yes, yes, yes. And it was built around the premise of not being able to, like, for example, if an attorney got 20 leads a month and they spent 15 minutes a week or 15 minutes trying to follow up with those people a week or something, whatever you come up with, that's a substantial amount of time that they don't get to use for other stuff like case related.
Sure.
But if the system on the back end did all the text messages and the emails to follow up with this person just to get them to engage, and as soon as they engage, that's when you jump into the conversation yourself as the attorney and close it out. So the front loaded stuff, I mean, there's plenty of times where people, you know, you get leads and they don't respond, they don't answer the phone call. And most attorneys may go two touches before they ever give up. They may give up after two touches. But I mean, the science shows that majority of time it takes like 6-7 touches with somebody in some shape or form before they actually start engaging with you or actually sign you up as an attorney. So it's my system capitalizes on making sure that all your leads are being followed up on and that none of them fall through the crack. And a good example of this is time-wise. So sometimes leads come in the middle of the night and everybody's experienced this. They're like, oh my gosh, why did this lead come in the middle of the night? And all of a sudden you wake up in the morning and you have a new consultation booked on your calendar at 9 a.m. and you were asleep the entire time. These are things that we can capitalize on. That's what our system was built for, is to get these people to engage with you right out of the gate so you don't lose them and they don't move on to the next firm and hire somebody else.
Today, I'd like to introduce a new sponsor to The Law Entrepreneur, and that's the folks at Jurisdiction. You started your law practice to ditch the firm life and be your own boss, but your practice is running you. The good news, being an attorney entrepreneur doesn't have to be this hard. Jesse and Megan, the lawpreneurs behind Jurisdiction, are working to build a new generation of solo practitioners who love being lawyers. This year, Jurisdiction is introducing a new program, Next Level Law Practice. Next Level Law Practice is a rigorous training program that provides the tools and business fundamentals for estate planning attorneys to start and grow a profitable and streamlined legal business. Next Level Law Practice gives you access to videos, worksheets, templates, one-on-one coaching, and live group sessions that allow you to ask questions and learn on your own schedule. To learn more about the program, visit thrivejd.com. That's thrivejd.com. They're even offering an exclusive coupon code for the Law Entrepreneur listeners. Just enter the code TLE150, that's like the Law Entrepreneur 150, for a $150 discount off your course registration. And welcome to the show, Jurisdiction. Support for today's episode comes from Ruby Receptionists, dedicated to helping you grow your practice one happy caller at a time. From their offices in Portland, Oregon, Ruby's live remote receptionists create an exceptional experience for your callers by answering calls live with your custom greeting, delighting callers in English or Spanish, transferring calls, taking messages, collecting new client intake, and much more. Just like an in-house receptionist at a fraction of the cost. For 15 years, Ruby has been turning rings into relationships. For more information, call 844-895-7829 or visit callruby.com/lawentrepreneur.
And particularly for clients like personal injury or workers' comp clients, you know, sometimes when they're thinking about engaging an attorney, it's just that. It's in the middle of the night. They're waking up from some problem that they've experienced or dealt with, and it's in the middle of the night, and they decided they need to contact an attorney. And as you know, if they don't get a response pretty quickly, they're going to move on to the next one on the list.
Exactly.
So this addresses that challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just addresses.
So now we've got the potential client through this series of automated steps that includes email and text messaging and pre-recorded phone calls and the like. So now they make an appointment and they're coming in. Where does Law Hustle then take them once the appointment is scheduled?
Well, as soon as the appointment is scheduled, they get the automated, we also have automated reminders in there too. So we make sure that no matter when an appointment's booked, that the client actually shows up for your phone consultation or in person, whatever you choose.
That can be a challenge.
That's another big thing that we found out that was a huge problem, is like you book people on your calendar, but then they don't show up or you can't get a hold of them. So we figured out, well, obviously that is common knowledge, but if you remind them, the likelihood that they're going to show up is much higher. So that's why we have that built into the situation in the system. So as soon as they book, they get a series of automated reminders, also some personal messages from the attorney in this whole course of this situation. And then you have a consultation with the client. After the consultation with the client, you can decide what you want to do with that person, because obviously not every attorney is going to take every case. So that's what the point, the fork in the road. And then every firm at this point has a different procedure regarding like how they want to do intake. So they may want to meet them in person. They may want to send them some documentation. And this is where that fork in the road will happen. And then you can just go about your regular firm process. But also, we also have additional follow-up automation too as well. So let's say, for example, this happens all the time. You have a consultation with the client and they say, you know what, I got to talk with my wife, or I got to talk with my husband, or I got to think about this. Can you call me back in 2 weeks, right? You can just drag them into another column and then set like a timer on them or for a period of time. And then after that period of time, the system will automatically start going right back out to them again with a different context of messages because you've already talked to them to get them to take that last step, which is A, hiring you.
No, I spoke to an attorney not too long ago who was downplaying the importance of reminder messages to the clients. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a misguided viewpoint from my perspective because, you know, just about everybody I deal with in my personal life sends me a reminder message. My dentist sends me a reminder message. You know, hairstylist sends me a reminder message. You know, so we get a lot of those, and I come to depend on them. So I don't know why your law firm representing you is any different. And so I just was surprised by this attorney's viewpoint.
I agree. I think the more in touch you are with your clients, the better position you put yourself in. And also, I think it also starts creating this, maybe not necessarily the reminder emails, but just any interaction with the client or potential client before they walk in the door, after they walk in the door, you're creating like this trust mechanism with them. Like if you know, you're having text message conversation with them or you're having email conversation with them, you're like, you're showing them that they're important. That's the whole goal. You want to let your client know that they're the important one to walk in the door. Not necessarily that they're the only case that you have, but at least that they're important enough to get them the results they want. And I think the first step to that is to be on top of your communication with them. I mean, for example, like our law firm, like our three core values is, you know, we like to have an open channel of communication. We like to create trust and, you know, which all feed into making your reputation better. And the higher your reputation is, I think the more substantial your growth is going to be.
Yeah. So you built this platform for your own usage. Do you have any sense of how well it has worked? I mean, obviously you're still using it, so it's working for you. But was it a dramatic increase? Was it a gradual increase? Did you tweak it along the way? How did the development cycle go?
Well, the for us it was kind of like a trial and error. So like when we first started, it was like a bunch of different software platforms trying to like mesh this all together. It was like Zapier and like, you know, RingCentral text messaging, like all these different things kind of like all pulled in together to make this work. And then we finally put something together that kind of pulled it all together in one place. And since we've done that, we've kind of fine-tuned it. So if you want to put it in, I'm going to say, I can't really say dollars because I don't think that really equates to most attorneys, but let's just say cases in the door. We started with 5 cases in 2016, July 2016. And from there until now, which is, you know, mid July or beginning of July here now, we've taken in about a little over 300 cases and 90, and like 90, I would probably say about 90-ish of those cases have been since January. And to put this in perspective, I think January, February is probably right around the time where we kind of like just fine tuned it enough to where it was just like running on auto drive. And that's kind of like what's transpired since then. And this is just leads, but also I think, you know, probably 10, 20% of it, I would say 10% of it is probably like, you know, referring clients, referring their friends and family to us too, because they like the way we represent their family member or friend or whatever it was too as well.
Yeah. I mean, in the end of the day, it sounds like Law Hustle can certainly improve your conversion rate from the time that people first contact your firm until they're engaged as a client. You still have to get those referrals to make people contact the law firm in the first place, or do marketing or whatever other tools you have to bring in new clients. This doesn't replace that part of the process.
No, you still definitely have to have a lead source. And I mean, that's another service that I just went ahead and hired on a marketing, digital marketing lead generation team as well. So I found that if you can control the lead gen at the front end and then all the communication as soon as a lead, you get all the lead information, the probability, with our system at least, the probability of getting that person's client is much higher. So we offer almost like a full suite. Most people just want to use the software, and some people may only want to use just one feature of it. It's perfectly fine. But if you're one of those firms who doesn't have any lead gen or doesn't understand how that works, I have a team for that too as well, who we can give a, you know, strategy call to try to figure out how we can get leads from, you know, the World Wide Web into the system to make it run. Now, I'm going to, with a grain of salt here, I don't think digital, and I think most attorneys would agree with this, I don't think getting digital leads is your, should be your sole source. I think you still should do other things in the world, like, you know, network or, you know, get referrals from other related stuff. So I wouldn't say put all your eggs in my basket, because I don't think that's a good strategy for growth. But it's definitely a system that can take leads from any source, either your referral sources, your phone call sources, your billboard ad on the billboard, your digital leads, your Google ad leads. It can take any lead source and then put them in the system to automatically start following with them. So
yeah. So how does the attorney then, what's the mechanism for them monitoring the performance of Law Hustle? Is it kind of a unified dashboard, or are there a number of different screens that they have to cycle through to understand where things are in the process? What's the user interface like?
The biggest features are, we have a dashboard, and the dashboard keeps tracks of all your leads that are being followed up on. Your conversion rates, which is a very important stat that I think most attorneys should pay attention to.
Tell you what their conversion rate is.
Yeah, so that, you know, the value of your pipeline. I think most people understand that every case that comes in the door is X value, and that you can track the value of your pipeline. We also track lead sources. So as leads come in the system, we can designate them to certain sources, and you can track to see like, hey, Martindale Nolo gave me 100 leads and I'm at this conversion rate on these ones. Or, you know, you can track all your lead sources to determine, you know, what source of leads is benefiting you the most, because maybe you want to ditch something like Google Ads because it's not working, or maybe you want to refine Google Ads because it's not working for you. So these are things that you can all see from the dashboard. There's also, we didn't really discuss this, but the text messaging portion of it, this is actually one of the biggest features that I think that is underplayed in our system. We have a unified messaging inbox. The unified messaging inbox, you give yourself and your staff access to the unified messaging box, and all the messages that come in, either text message, either email, into the system are all viewable to your staff to respond to. So this is great.
They're not having to go to, you know, 9 different places to respond to this interaction. They can do so from one unified location.
It's all in one place. And it even ropes in Facebook Messenger. So if you tie in your business Facebook Messenger page for your business Facebook page, the messages that people write to you in that will drop into the system as well. So you can see all your messages, everything in one place. And the best part about this is sometimes you're in court. Sometimes you can't get to the phone. Sometimes you can't respond to text messages because you're like doing something for a client in court, right? So, but your paralegal may see that message and be like, hey, I'm just going to hop in this message real quick. And they jump in and they say, hey, Neil's in court today. He's not going to be out until like 1. Is there anything I can help you with? Instead of that message going to your personal cell phone, Neil, and then it being lost in the wind and nobody following up with that client, and then that client being upset with you. So that right there is like gold, because that goes back into our open communication channel that we like to have. So we found that after we started this whole process, that became our main mechanism for talking with clients. It's like all of our clients' text messages in the system, either the attorney responds or a paralegal responds or somebody responds in the middle of this conversation. And there's always a route for the client to talk to us at any moment of time, any time of the day. And it like literally speaks leaps and bounds for these clients who like love us because they can reach us at any moment in time.
What about on the back end then? So now you've got this client that's gone through the whole process and they've retained you. Are you able then to pass that information on to a practice management platform or CRM? Or I would expect that you have some integration on the back end, right?
Yes, we integrate with Zapier is probably the best bet for this. We also integrate with Clio. Just the calendar function of Clio. We haven't really finished the whole trying to get it. But I think we integrate with Zapier. Zapier is the best bet for this. So you can create up a Zap for anything. So people use practice. Exactly. So you can pass on any of the information you have on our system that you've gained during this process. and you can have it dump over to Cliffs. For example, for us, we take the information and then we automatically open up a matter in Clio with Zapier. And then we transfer over all the information that we gathered in the intake process, and then it opens up a new file in Clio for us. So that's, and you can do the same thing with Practice Panther. I think FileVine and all those other problems, you probably can do a similar situation. So, you know, I didn't want to tie the system to one particular practice management system because I thought that was kind of counterintuitive to like what we wanted to do. So I created a Zapier webhook that allows you to do that to whatever system you want.
Yeah, I think that's the way to go, frankly. I think the more integration level capabilities that platforms have, I think the wider their acceptance. So now you're making this platform Law Hustle available to the public, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how's that going?
It's going good. I think it's kind of tough because I don't think it's kind of tough to have conversations like this with attorneys regarding follow-ups and leads. But I think the people that I've talked to and given demos to, they're just like, wow, nothing out there does this. I can't even believe this is possible. And, you know, and they use it and then they're happy with it.
It fits that spot that's lacking. You know, Clio just bought another company to try and do the front end of the intake process. I think you're well positioned because it's a part of the overall end-to-end client experience that's not being addressed as well as it could be. And so I think you're really well positioned to address that challenge.
Yeah, I'm hoping. And I think I'm hoping that the one piece of the puzzle is the unified messaging box, because I don't, Lexicata or Lawmatics or any of those systems out there don't offer anything like that. They don't allow you to do the back and forth with the client conversations. They just allow you to set up campaigns and then let the campaigns run. And you hope that you're getting the results you want out of them. Where in ours, you can actually, you know, figure out what's going on and how it's benefiting you. And then maybe one last feature too that helps at the end of this whole process, you know, you talked about from beginning to end. So as soon as they become your client, and then as soon as they're at the end of your case, our system also does the automatic review request to them. So we actually send a review request out to your clients at any moment in time you want. And you can just direct them to your Google page, your Facebook page to actually give you a review. So I've taken bits and pieces of a lot of the most powerful systems out of there, and I put them all into one that would most benefit a law firm to grow. That's pretty much what I did.
Well, no, I think it's well thought out. I mean, don't sell yourself short, because I think from what I've seen, you know, from the website and the descriptions and stuff, I think that it's like I said, it fits that niche, and I wish you the best of luck with it. So, Chris, tell our audience, what's the best way for them to reach out to you and find out more about Law Hustle and how they may be able to follow up?
Yeah, the best way to reach me would be chris@golawhustle.com. That'd be the email for the software company / consulting company. So, and then also, if you want to just reach out to me at my law firm, it's my law firm is actually Visionary Law Group. And the email for my Visionary Law Group is chris.lyle@thislawgroup.com. That's VISLAW group.com.
Perfect.
Any of those, you can get a hold of me.
Perfect. We'll include those in the show notes so that people can reach out to you. And I wish you the best of luck with this, Chris. I think it sounds very promising, and I enjoyed chatting with you about it.
Great. I appreciate you for having me on this show.
All right. You take care now.
All right. Thank you very much.
Well, that will do it for today's episode of The Law Entrepreneur. I'd like to thank our sponsors for making this show possible, the good folks at Call Ruby Receptionists, and our newest sponsor, Jurisdiction, the providers of the Next Level Law Practice Program. So take a moment to visit our show notes and hop on over to their websites for special discounts and savings and other free stuff that you can get, and just support them because they make this podcast possible day in and day out. Also, if you got a couple minutes, pop on over to our own website, thelawentrepreneur.com. We have a couple little articles there. You can also listen to the podcast itself there if you choose to. And sign up for our newsletter or our mailing list. And we don't do a lot. You know, you're not going to bombard you with emails every week. And I do plan on doing a few more this year, but we'd love to have you join our community. And in that sense, you can also go on to our Facebook page. You can find us just by searching on The Law Entrepreneur. You can find out what we got going on a daily basis, sometimes hourly, on the Facebook page. So I'd love to have you join us there. And if you have the time, last but not least, go on over to iTunes, search on The Law Entrepreneur. And if it's something that you believe in and feel strongly about, we'd love for you to leave an honest 5-star review, as well as comments about what you like and dislike about the show, because it does mean a lot to us that you are our community, our listeners, and I want to thank you for making this all possible. So we'll see you next time on The Law Entrepreneur.